Yeah. Check. Keep it alive, through these lines I write. I keep it live, cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this, cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you're feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc, I rip to a tear. Switch the scenario, my stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah. Just nod your head with it, so explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it, no scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool, hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so, no overdose cause it's dope. Yo man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow, down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio. Once again, with your host, Nick Burnaby, here on UCY.TV every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the same time. So make sure you guys tune into our other shows as well. I'm joined by my co-host, DB Schwazy. How's it going, brother?
What's up, Nick?
Nothing much, man. Just catching up on everything that's going on here with these, with this civil unrest that's basically seems like it's gripping the world. It's not just in Venezuela and in Ukraine. It's the whole world. They're kind of, people are just fed up with this idea. Yep. And, unfortunately, like we talked about in our last show, the U.S. goes in there anytime there's any disruption. We send in our ops, our guys to go in and try to co-opt anything that's trying to go on. You know, so I'm just hoping for the best that these people out in Venezuela and these people in Ukraine could at least get a slightly more free than what they currently have. You know, if they could take one step in the right direction, that's better than nothing.
Right. You know, doing a little digging, I did find something interesting about the Venezuela thing, which is that Maduro is starting to cozy up with China, and that just cannot be allowed to take place. So we can see how this student revolution, which was already brewing anyway, because their quality of life is trash for a country that has that kind of oil reserves. It was just bound to hit anyway, but you're not going to allow your only competitor on a world stage into your backyard and start pilfering your resources that you need for the West Coast. It's not going to be allowed to happen. So anything and everything is always resource related, and we can also say that in that way money rules the world, right?
Yep.
You know, so it's really just like that. And then another big story that just kind of it's coming to the surface is that the world stage is changing so much that the Vatican is now being audited.
Wow.
I mean, the
first
bank
time ever.
The Bank of International Settlements, which is the big brother and is the eye of the pyramid, has turned its gaze onto the newly pontifical pope, because this guy is actually trying to do his job. And he wants to spread the wealth the real way, which is, you know, on an individual level, at a community level, where he's going to give money out to the church. Now, the church isn't the best way to do things, but at least it's a way to do things. And the powers that be don't want that, because the church owns trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars of assets.
Yeah, man. It's kind of funny that they choose to do it now that they got this pope that's kicking up all this dust.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go and jump to conclusions and say that is a good pope. But
well, they're getting audited now, so put two and two together. Before they had impunity, and now they're going to be scrutinized because this guy is actually going to try to help the poor, spread the wealth. I mean, and that cannot be allowed to happen, or else the plan and the agenda going forward won't work. Because you can't pool all the money and the resources to an elitist class, they can't go transhumanism, right?
Yeah, well, maybe there are two groups at play here. You know, maybe it's not just the bad that are these powerful people behind the scenes that we don't know about. There must be some kind of counterbalance up there.
Yes, the powerful good. You know, some call them the Order of the Rose or whatever. There's all kinds of things. Some people say that the Templars split, and some continue to say that they're the blood of Christ himself. But, you know, obviously there's good at work, or we'd be in a doomsday scenario already. There's a counterbalance. Now, does that mean evil is not winning? No, evil is winning right now. And part of our job in some small way is to wake. I was thinking about it today. The epiphany was that it's the job of good, smart people to wake up good, dumb people so evil, smart people don't take over.
Yep, exactly.
And that's what we need to do.
But there's a bunch of stories here today to go over. I don't know how many of these we're going to be able to get to. Now, obviously, what's going on in Venezuela, Ukraine. Now, apparently, the Ukrainian government is basically gone. The cops have stopped. they stopped guarding the presidential palace, and the cops basically joined sides with the protesters, which is a good thing. Now, this is the thing. This is what gets me about this whole Ukrainian thing. And you know me, I'm always talking about how democracy is basically always one step away from a dictatorship. Now, the Ukrainians go in immediately and they say, okay, we threw out the old government. Now let's call elections. Let's have new elections. And then they bring out this other lady that was their former leader out of the prison, where she was imprisoned for corruption or something. Who knows if it was just a political whether she was in jail just politically or whatever. Doesn't really matter. What happened is before she was in jail, there was like another revolution before them, which ended up putting her in jail. You know, so obviously they're not really learning anything here. You know, this lady, I don't know her name. I can't pronounce her name, but she's obviously the new front runner, you know, and she's already been there before, and half the people in that country already can't stand this lady. And now they're going to have new elections and most likely elect her.
Yeah, you know, Tymoshenko, and she's pro-West. Ukraine will split in half. Now, this is the biggest issue. It's not the issue that they'll split in half, because countries do that. Sudan just did that. And sometimes it's a success, and sometimes it's a massive failure, and there's civil wars after that. But the biggest problem is the oil that comes from the East leaves through the West. So Russia's going to keep the East where they pull it up, and then it needs to get to port in the West. I mean, this is – what a coup d'etat, dude. This basically – you capped a pipeline from Russia. It's like they were saying today that the Russian general said the United States and the EU at this point are – they're 100 years ahead of the game in warfare, because they know it's not about force anymore. We're in a post-scarcity and post-violence world when you think about it, because – were you to ever pull out the big guns, it's the end of the world. So now it's on to the next level, which is psychological, economic, cultural. This is what we're doing now. These are the games we play. We're on a whole different level now.
Yeah, yeah. We can't be having these huge all-out warfare type things with this conventional warfare stuff. You know, it's totally different now. It's where they play the mental game, and they've been studying this stuff for a very long time, man. You know, they've been on this, you know, this whole psychological control research for like about 100 years at least. So they know what they're doing, and they're able to go. And not only do they take advantage of existing momentum and existing social angst, but they're able to go in there and stir it up. So there may be just a little tiny bit of underlying issues there, and they're able to send in the right provocateurs to go stir things up. And you know, like they tried to do in Iran a couple years ago, and that's just what they do. You know,
and the end game is it's domination. And it starts in our own sphere, which is the northern hemisphere, and then it'll spread to wherever they desire. That's the whole thing, is that once the industrial base and the drone army is complete, it's over. So that's what it's all about. It's acquiring the resources needed to transition into the post-human military, and then it's lights out for everybody that stands in their way. And the agenda will not be kind to most. It's going to be what they call an ultimate meritocracy. Do you have anything to offer society? No? Consider yourself eliminated.
Yep. And we don't want to get there. We don't want to see that point in history come about, you know?
No, because this time it will be more complete than it could ever be imagined now, because it's a science. It's no longer brute force.
Yeah, and you know, this whole thing with how they're just calling new elections, I mean, see, this whole revolution, it's not thought out. They don't have a real plan in place to make anything actually change, you know, and unfortunately the people are the pawns of this thing. It's the regular guy, the regular working Joe that's out there getting killed by the cops, or is one of the cops getting killed by the protesters. Mm-hmm. And then in the end, the power structure stays in place. The banking system stays in place. You know, everything stays the same, and nothing is going to change for the poor people in Ukraine.
Well, you know, the people in the West actually may get a better life, because it'll open them up to a different system, which is capitalism, as opposed to this crony type of communist socialist garbage. And it, you know, if you think we have crony capitalism in America, just read up on Russia. I mean, the mafia openly owns companies. So it's a lot worse there if you're not connected. You know, if you have talent and you're not connected there, you don't have a good life. At least maybe in the West, you might get into college, get into a job, something like that. And that's what the people really wanted, that were pro-West. So, you know, both ideologies and both ways of life, we realize they suck, because it's reliance on governance and rulership. And those things are just outdated as a political philosophy. But the West is still better than the East for most people.
Yeah, man, and now what we're going to see happen, obviously, is now that the Western sympathizers are sweeping back into power, now all the people in the East are going to be mad. And so, like you were saying, it's either going to keep fighting, or it's going to have to be split in half.
Yeah, it'll be split. It's balkanization, and it's complete. It's done, because, you know, the pride factor there is going to be just too overwhelming. You know, Ukrainian people are very proud, as most Eastern European people are, and they're never going to stop. They're going to want their own spot. You know, so it's mission accomplished for the chess game that's going on, the grand chess game, as Brzezinski likes to say, and the West won. And that's what I'm saying, is we're ahead, man. We're so far ahead that it's fun now. This is just fun and games. You know, these guys at the top in these think tanks probably had this going for 15 years already, and they just pulled it off.
Yep. You know, I guess we have a bit of good news here. Pierce Morgan is gone. Is basically thrown in the towel.
Right.
Because people stopped watching his show because he was he became such a divisive figure. You know, all he was talking about was gun control after this whole Sandy Hook thing, whether it was, you know, I mean, I keep seeing stuff about Sandy Hook being a hoax. I mean, who knows? But it just goes to show, you know, if people stop watching, they're going to stop putting these people on TV.
Yep.
You know, well, his
brand of propaganda doesn't work, because he was branded a redcoat, and rightly so.
Yeah, you know, so. I mean, Americans inherently don't really care too much for the British, you know.
Right, we're not going to listen to you when you try to dictate our policy. That's just not going to be allowed. Even in public discourse, where people are fluoridated out of their minds, they realize this guy is not looking out for our self-interests. And he actually increased gun sales. You know, just like Obama tripled gun sales, this guy helped the cause of liberty, because, you know, if he's talking about what the consciousness is of the liberal media, which he is, because what network was he on? You know, he's the mouthpiece for the White House, and people say, "Hey, you come take them, come take them."
Yeah, he helped us out. It backfired on him, just like most of these things that they do backfire on them. For every action that these people do, there's a reaction, and we're seeing it happen now. Nobody's watching his show anymore, and I was just thinking today, I was like, "Well, you know, if we can get Pierce Morgan gone by nobody watching." What if nobody watched any TV? or any of this mainstream news stuff, then they'd all be gone.
Well, no, because then what that would do is expose this complete perpetual back scratch. I love to say it. It's political circle jerking because it'll continue like nothing even happened. They don't even need money. Money's just numbers they throw around. Remember, the same people that own the Fed own the news companies and create the money out of thin air and create these industries that feed off them out of thin air and don't actually need the economy to function at all. Anything like that where it's mostly talent and computer systems, all they need is just the power. They don't need any actual infrastructure or resources. So they can keep that and the banking system going on this complete fiat system we have. And that's why even after 2008, we've basically more or less lived the American lifestyle. They were able to perpetually just keep spreading out the losses until now it's at the critical point.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, chances are they will get bailed out. But
now well, they'll bail themselves out.
Now, here's the thing. Even if they still exist, if nobody's watching, then it's like that saying, you know, if a tree falls in the forest and no one's around to hear it, does it still make a sound or whatever? I mean, it's kind of that same thing. If there's a show on TV that's spewing out propaganda, but there's nobody watching it, then guess what? That propaganda, it's not doing anything.
But people are, so that's part of where we need to drown them out. And if there's a million billion little mosquitoes like me and you that are buzzing around, then even the big dogs are going to get, you know, pushed out of prominence and no one will listen to them. If a guy that's really, really well known says one thing and it's obvious he's a corporate mouthpiece and 100 so-called conspiracy theorists contradict him and are heard, it makes you look like an idiot for believing the propaganda in the first place. And people do not want to be stupid if they can help it.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening. When you parrot something from the mainstream media now, if anybody else has a brain, they go, "Where'd you hear that on Fox News?" You know, and it's like a mark of you're an idiot. And soon MSNBC, CNN, BBC, and all these other corporate mouthpiece type nobody corporations are going to just have no legitimacy at all.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, they have a bit left. According to polling numbers, people are already kind of over this mainstream news stuff. Most people already don't trust it. The funny thing is that Fox News is actually, according to the polling numbers, Fox News is the most trusted out of all.
Yes. Well, because it's going against this complete lunacy that's going on right now in the so-called Democratic Party and the so-called Liberal Party, which have been hijacked by a globalist agenda that the blind followers don't even understand is against the way they've been brought up their whole life. It's not going to be a rule of law type thing. It's going to be a rule of dictatorship. That's what they're not getting. It's going to be, I know better than you, so you follow what I say at the point of a gun for everything. And we saw that, like the 15-year-old girl today being taken from her family. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that one.
Yeah, there was a girl that was sick, and you know, the family decided they didn't want to do the prescribed treatment for her sickness, and that was grounds for CPS to go ahead and put her in foster care.
Wow.
I mean, it's getting to the point now where if you don't want something done on your child and they decide that you need it done and you say no, then it's now a child of the state.
That's just insane. I mean, it's like the parents don't have any rights anymore, and it's like the state knows what's best. And then there was this thing that came out last week about how the FCC wanted to go into all these newsrooms and then ask them how they gather news and make sure that they're reporting on the right news. It's like, what? Seriously? The government wants to come in and start policing and finding out how the media companies gather their news? That doesn't sound like free speech. I mean, we already dropped like 13 places since last year. How are they going to make this even worse, it seems like? And it's
where's the line in the sand? Where's the firing line? Where's the Boston Tea Party event we need that makes people realize that they're going to try to take everything from you? Don't you get that? Stop watching TV. You know, stop blindly taking your hour commute to work for a place paying you peanuts and start thinking about how you're going to actually make money when this economy implodes and there's no corporations anymore because they're all bankrupt. This is what's going to come. So, I mean, it's not a fallacy to think that that would happen. when a bank run starts and the banks go out, then all the businesses go out and all the transport goes out. How are you going to make it? What's your skill set? You know, it's reality. It happened in the Depression, and a lot of people didn't make it, or they had to move to, you know, crazy places around the world just to survive. You know, things like that can easily happen in an economy like ours where it's service-based. There's no blue-collar work. And what are you going to do? What value are you going to bring? And these are things people need to really think about.
Yeah, and I think alternative currency is huge. I know Bitcoin's taking a beating today. I guess it's way down. I don't know.
Don't trust Bitcoin. Don't trust a virtual currency. It can be manipulated by hacking. Come on. Like, don't do that to yourself. You know, there's a reason gold and silver exist. I know it's passe, but they were traded forever, and they're useful, and they're efficient, and they're going to always have a value. And better yet, if you can, like we always love to say, let's get all our friends together and go make a farm. You know, these are things that are going to protect us and keep everybody safe when things get tough.
Yeah, I think I'm going to try to get – maybe next Monday we'll try to get someone on that knows – that can talk about some alternative currencies a little more in-depth than we can. And I'm not talking just about these cryptocurrencies. But we've talked before how cannabis can most likely be used for currency. Yeah. Whiskey used to be used for currency back in the wilderness back in the day. And I think beer can be used for currency as well.
Anything that's a staple. I mean, obviously food and water, and maybe it'll just go back to some kind of barter system at a local level. I don't know. But it's obvious the centralization, the globalization, the limits have been reached. The population boom has been breached where we're at the point now where the will of the elites to distribute the resources of the world has been breached, and they're going to try to do their Depop thing. And the only way to get around that is to take it upon yourself, because soon the food supplies worldwide will be this poison industrial garbage on purpose. As long as the people continue to eat cheap food and don't grow it, why not? Why? It's a silent war for people in charge.
Exactly, man. And, you know, you made a good point there about food. Food is at the very root of all things that we need, and water. And we're having this huge issue still going on in Fukushima. Another leak just sprung up that TEPCO has admitted to, and we know TEPCO's been covering up the whole thing for, like, ever since it happened. Apparently, this latest leak was contained with the use of a trash bag, a garbage bag. Yeah, you know, you heard about they were using duct tape. A while back, and now I guess apparently they're using a garbage bag to keep this radiated water from leaking out into the Pacific.
So if that's not an indication enough that this is deliberately being allowed to happen and not being sealed, then what else? What can I tell you? Because, you know, we always like to say Chernobyl was capped with concrete like almost immediately. They just gave up on it and sealed it. And why didn't we do that? It's possible. The engineering is not impossible. We can do it, and we needed to do it. And it was just left in the open, and then now, and you know it, China syndrome. They just haven't said it yet. But where the hell is that reactor core? So that's going into the center of the Earth somewhere. And just if anything were to happen from that, I mean, the whole island's done. The whole island of Honshu, if you look it up, the water table is pretty much all connected. So.
Yeah. And then, you know, we got – now there's a domestic incident now too, and I'm going to quote this here from some Associated Press report. More airborne radiation has been detected in southeastern New Mexico from a leak at the nation's first underground nuclear waste dump. The Federal Energy Department said Monday that the results were from samples collected last week at air monitoring stations at and around the waste isolation pilot plant near Carlsbad, New Mexico. So, I mean, this leak is leaking into the ground, but it's so bad now that they're taking air readings. It's already up into the air. You know, people are already breathing it in New Mexico.
Well, it's been pooling in Chicago, and I think we've talked about that before, where Chicago is such a massive hotspot that it's because of the Great Lakes and the humidity that develops over them, and then they pull it all in there, and they're kind of what they call hot isotopes. So they get all pulled together, And, yeah, people there probably have no idea. They're eating sockeye or whatever coming out of there, and it's got to be awful. I mean, the Pacific's already dubious. So if it's concentrated in a tinier body of water, it's probably just really bad up there. So they're going to have to at some point address this. There's already official readings. It's in our kelp, Nick, you know. So, yeah, the kelp's absorbing it, so to speak, but the kelp's in everything. It's in toothpaste and shampoo. It's in ice cream. It's in all kinds of things as a base. And then, of course, now Bakersfield's a hot spot. And where does all the processed food come from in California? Bakersfield. So this stuff's going to become an endemic soon. It's a slow endemic of cancer, and it's going to take 3 or 5 years before it pops up, but it's coming.
Well, it's going to make one group pretty damn rich, the people that are in the medical industry that make all the cancer drugs. They're going to become very, very rich off of this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they're already insanely rich. So what they're doing now is ensuring, you know, whatever they've considered is the most they can extract from you without putting you into clinical depression over your lifetime and doctor fees, taxes, and all these other garbages that you're going to have to deal with being a slave to the modern system. And you are a slave in every way, shape, and form if they have your health now in their hand.
Yeah, and it's this comes on the back of another leak that was another nuclear leak that was in South Carolina at a power plant. And then it also comes on the back of all these chemical leaks that were in West Virginia. There were two different chemical leaks there that we know of. And it just goes to show that our water supplies aren't safe if we leave them in the hands of these bureaucrats and if we don't take preparations to at least ensure a decent, at least a short-term water supply that doesn't rely on the grid. You know, we have to figure out ways – Whether you're finding a friend with a well, or whether you are able to condense water, or whether you're able to distill water, some way or another, we have to get off this grid because it's not going to be safe. It's obviously getting corrupted, tainted, tampered with, poisoned, whether purposely or not. It's still there. It's still going to be poisoned. And not right. only that. But of course, the fluoride. They're putting fluoride in almost everybody's water too, and that's a poison.
And think about it. Fluoride's in everything then. It's in everything baked. It's in everything that's made with any water base at all. Because you can't filter fluoride with regular charcoal filter or even the membranes. It actually needs to be run through, I believe, zeolite or something like that, a hard mineral that it'll bond to it and pull it in. But yeah, man, it's at the point now where if you have the money – the technology is available for you to go off grid in a completely stealth, subversive way that you don't stick out and you're just fine if anything pops off. And when I talk about that, I'm talking about they have new water reclamation units. They're the size of a storage container. Pretty big, right? Like, I don't know, whatever trucks carry around, 18 wheelers, they're, I think, 40 by 20.
About 40 feet. I think it's about. What, 40 by
– not 20, but probably like 10 or whatever. I don't know what they are.
40 wide. By 10 by 10, I think they are roughly.
Yeah. Well, anyway, if you fill that with water and use existing technology that's roughly around $10,000 and fill that thing with water, you can reclaim that water and it's everything you'd ever need because it'll be at the right filtration rate and have the right volume that you never have to ever reclaim it again. It's just completely closed loop. So you see what I'm saying? You can put in Evian water into that thing and never need to go out and get water ever again for any use. Run the shower all day and night. It doesn't matter. With that volume and with the efficiency of the filtering and the power they go through, you're golden. And what that thing costs? Probably 20 grand. But I mean, if you have the chunk to put down and enough people to make use of it, it's possible now, right now, to not need anybody else.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's never been a better time, and we're seeing all these power outages as well in the Northeast.
And the South too.
I mean, it's insane. You know,
how do we have exposed power lines still? I mean, our technology is ridiculously good, and we have wooden water piping, and this disgusting plastic piping that's even probably even worse because it's BPA'd up. We're all drinking that. And then the power line, I mean, our infrastructure should be top of the line. We're bursting with money. If people think we're broke as a country, take your head out of your ass, because we have so much money. We have more money than you can imagine offshore. They can't even have enough zeros for it. And that's the problem. It's been stolen already. But if you wanted to rebuild us to not only the best in the world, but 50 years ahead of everyone else, infrastructure wise, we could do it tomorrow and have so-called shovel ready jobs and have everything ready to go. And it would bounce the economy back in a second.
Now, I have this one problem here with what we're talking about, and it's from this article from Off the Grid News here that I have in front of me. According to this article, a court in Florida has ruled that living off the grid is actually illegal.
That's Florida. Yeah. Florida's not even a part of the U.S., man. When I go down there, I look at it like it could just be an island, another country. You know, because so I don't care what happens in Florida. Zimmerman's from Florida. The baby killer's from Florida. Evil lives in Florida, so who cares?
So what they say here, and this is dangerous because this can give other places some ideas here.
Yeah.
They basically, at first they tried to say, oh, well, you can't have solar panels, and she fought that. And they're like, okay, you can keep your solar paneling as long as the city approves of it. But they're like, but you have no choice but to hook up to city water. You have to have your house hooked up to city water. No ifs, ands, or buts. So okay. They didn't want her having off-grid water.
Well, I mean, but what if you have a well?
Well, you can have a well, but you still have to be hooked up to the city water, apparently.
Well, then can't you just, like, flip a switch or something?
I'm sure, I'm sure it's kind of like a technicality.
Yeah, I mean, these are just stupid laws. These are lawless, legal. Did you see today, like, the Supreme Court is going to refuse to rule on these concealed carry denials that are happening in, you know, what I like to call pussified states like Connecticut that are really up the liberal a-hole? I mean, you can't refuse to rule on that. Then fire them all. Fire every single Supreme Court judge. You cannot refuse to rule on something that's in our freaking constitutional amendments. You cannot do that. That's your entire job. What purpose do you serve then?
Well, I mean, it's like that's what they're supposed to be doing. Unfortunately, they're not doing their job, but guess what? Name one part of the government that is doing their job. I mean,
imagine if you're a bus driver and you're all, I don't drive buses, sorry.
For real, it's basically the same thing.
What is your purpose? So we know now that they're completely not only corrupt, but we're always corrupted. They've never really been what we thought they were. They're simply just the last line of defense and another sham of our tri-sham system, right? So, yeah, I'm not surprised, but it's getting beyond lunacy now. No one's paying attention because all the distractions, I guess, are working and whatever, but.
Well, you know, we got to keep up on the latest Justin Bieber news and stuff.
Yes.
If not, then, you know, what would we do? Actually worry about what's going on in this world?
Yeah. I mean, when is he getting deported?
You know, and I went out. We're doing this event, and we may have a caller a bit later from here in San Diego, but we're doing this event on Friday to help out the homeless. We're collecting warm clothes, you know, supplies, tents, tarps, sleeping bags, you know, jackets and things like that. And we're also going to be making them some food. I've collected a bunch of food, actually. We're making them organic bean and rice burritos, which, yeah, it's a basic food staple, but, you know, it's better than nothing. And for a bunch of broke activists, you know, that's what we can afford. But I'm sitting there outside of Whole Foods, you know, and people that shop at Whole Foods are mostly kind of middle class. They all have money and stuff. And my plan was, you know, as people are going in the store, we're going to ask them, hey, while you're in the store, you want to buy something. And I had a list printed out. Here's the list of food we need, you know, rice, beans, avocados, tortillas, you know, this kind of thing. And unfortunately, man, I would say about 95% of the people walking in that store, I don't know whether it was because the way I looked and maybe I kind of look homeless too because I have long hair and a long beard. I don't know. But 95% of the people, I'm sitting there at, and my opening line was, hey, do you want to help out San Diego's homeless? And most people were just like, either ignored me or just said no, like outright. And it's like, well, you know, unfortunately, with attitudes like that, we're never going to get out of this hole. We're never going to get out of this mess. If everybody's going to stay so selfish and not help out their neighbors or help out the people that are less fortunate and always just think that the government's going to do it for you, well, guess what? You're going to end up with what we got now with this whole system where, literally, I was thinking about it today. What the cops are doing, I don't know if you've noticed, but a lot of the recent killings by the cops have been on these mentally disabled people. You know, and it's almost like eugenics. It's almost like what the Nazis were doing in Germany, getting rid of the people that had mental disabilities and the homeless people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is what they're doing. The cops are beating and killing a bunch of mentally disabled people.
They're disenfranchised. What are they going to do? Get a public defender? I mean, they don't have a voice. They really don't. If you don't have enough money to get a decent lawyer, you just don't have a voice in our system. And that's why the system itself is a sham. And the fact that a jury, and usually they'll tailor pick these juries to be the kind of doofuses that'll vote the way they want or whatever they call it. It's not voting. It's coming to a decision. But let's be honest, it really is just kind of that way. Yeah. It's the blind leading the blind. It's that. What are you going to do? What is a homeless guy going to do? He doesn't usually have a family that he'd be taken to a place like a camp, which they have now in South Carolina. So these pilot programs coming out are testing our limits as a society. What are we going to allow to happen to our poorest and our most vulnerable people? What are we going to allow when we're in a position to help people? What are we going to allow to happen? You know, it's exactly like you say, the Third Reich did do those types of things where the infamous saying when they came for, you know, the communists and the tradesmen and the unions and the Jews and the gypsies and the gays and the blacks, I didn't do anything. It wasn't me. And then one day they came for me and everybody else was already gone. So it's going to be that. It's going to be that on a grand scale. If we don't curtail that, we have to become one worldwide.
So I think we have Veronica on the line from San Diego. She's helping with this homeless outreach. Are you there? Hello? Okay, I think she dropped off. Hold on one second. All right, maybe she'll call back in if she's listening. She called in, but I don't know if she stayed on.
I blame Cricket.
Yeah, so it's like the most downtrodden in our society are basically the victim of all these regressive policies, all these regressive laws, taxes, justice system, you know, and it's just getting worse and worse and worse. And I'm sitting out there at Whole Foods, and unfortunately, 95% of the people are just like, well.
Well, what if it affects them at some point? What if they lose their good job from their degree and they can't even eat at Whole Foods anymore, and then they have to get in get food stamps and go to Food for Less, and they have to eat GMO garbage, and they start feeling sick like everyone else does, and they start realizing what an absolute sham this system is because –
All right, hold on.
Sustainable.
Hold on, she's calling back.
All right, yes.
Hey, Veronica, are you there?
Hi, yes, I'm sorry I got disconnected.
Oh, no problem. So, yeah, we were just talking about some of the issues going on with the homeless, and I wanted to bring you on here to talk about what it is that we're doing here in San Diego and maybe what people can do in their own areas to help out the less fortunate.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we're Occupy San Diego is hosting an event this Friday in downtown San Diego at the Civic Center Plaza for our local houseless friends. It's taking place from 4 to 6 p.m. and for distribution. But if anybody can drop items by starting at 2 o'clock, somebody will be there collecting items and setting up. We're also going to be serving food for the houseless. We're collecting items right now, jackets, blankets, socks, underwear, shoes, clothes in general, backpacks, tents, dog food. Basically we cannot turn our backs on our local houseless friends. It's a big problem here in San Diego that just gets ignored. I mean, we're a rich city. There are a lot of people here with a lot of money, and unfortunately, not too many people are paying attention. And there's, you know, I mean, you guys have talked about it. It's, there's no support from our local government. And so it's kind of up to us to pull together and do events like these so that we can, you know, help them out. We can't turn our backs and, you know, maybe set an example, you know, for what we should be doing. And, I mean, these people are just really gracious. They appreciate everything. I mean, anything that you can give to them, they are, I mean, it's a big deal. It's a really big deal. And so, you know, we've had a lot of great donations this far, but, you know, we're still accepting more. So if people can head out there, this is, again, on this Friday, the 28th, from 4 to 6 p.m., but you can start dropping off at 2 o'clock, and this is at the Civic Center Plaza downtown, 3rd and B Street. And, yeah, for if anybody wants to call, if you can't make it down there and you want to schedule a pickup where we can meet you at your place, so we're if you want to call, the number is 858-220-3304.
Awesome. Now, you know, there's a few stats that a lot of people probably don't know about, but, you know, 40% of the homeless people are actually have jobs and they work. You know, people, a lot of people think, oh, well, homeless people are just lazy. And then the other half of people think, well, the government takes care of them. But unfortunately, it's kind of one of these finger-pointing games where it's like, well, the people think, okay, well, the government's supposed to take care of the homeless. And then the government's like, no, well, that's what the charities are for. The charities are supposed to take care of the homeless. You know, and then people just think, well, I don't really have to do anything because I pay taxes. Unfortunately, our taxes don't really go to things that we actually need. They all – most of them end up fighting these foreign wars or end up as foreign financial aid to these dictatorships in the Middle East or around the world. I saw a bunch of people asking in the event page today, or basically saying that they're not in San Diego, so they want to do something near where they're at. Is there any tips that you can give anybody listening that wants to maybe try to set something up around them, even if it's just you by yourself or you and a few friends helping out the homeless? What are a few tips that you can give to people to try to get organized and start making a difference in their areas?
Well, you know, there are a lot of different organizations that take in donations and, you know, properly distribute those donations to the people who need it most. People can just collect. I mean, it doesn't even have to be the holidays. People can just set up their, you know, own collections, you know, even if it's at their workplace, like, hey, I'm collecting, you know, does anybody have items they want to donate? And, you know, does, you know, funnel them. I mean, I know there's a lot of like religious organizations and whatnot that, you know, also have that, you know, where people congregate to go and, you know, get help for those kinds of items. So, I mean, you know, there are people helping. You know, we're doing our own thing, and, you know, the community has just been really supportive. You know, we have a lot of great people here, and so, you know, I mean, hopefully we'd just keep doing this because it's been a really great experience, and you know, it's being received really well.
Veronica, can I ask you if San Diego does anything ridiculous like charging for permits to actually feed or give homeless people stuff? Like Columbia, South Carolina has some fee you have to pay just to be able to give things away.
Oh, sure. I mean, San Diego, I mean, there's a lot of hassling that goes along, you know, with just everything that people try to do, you know, even if it has to do with, you know, people loitering in the wrong area or whatever. But, you know, honestly, I don't know what all the particular laws are around here, but I know during the last event there were definitely, you know, people complaining about, you know, just kind of talking about how they get hassled and, you know, that's a matter that, you know, is not a priority for our local government. And, you know, these people, I mean, they just have to deal with so much as it is. And so, yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't really know too much about that, but you know what happened.
Yeah, I'm sure it's there. And one thing I also wondered was if anybody ever thought it'd be a good idea for Balboa Park to become a food forest itself. Like Seattle has their own.
Yeah. No, I mean, we have a lot of really great resources here. I mean, I know recently there was a $10,000 grant given to the, over by the harbor in San Diego to help out specifically for homeless outreach in that area of town. And so I know that they helped a lot of the houseless people get back on, like, job recovery, medical problem, you know, medical help and all of that. So, I mean, there are things happening locally that, you know, are there. I mean, we have the, what is it called? Also in downtown, the
St. Vincent de Paul?
Yes. I know that there's, you know, they also help out. I mean, there are resources here locally, but our, you know, houseless community or, you know, population is just so much. It's just so much that everything helps. You know, it's never quite enough. And so, you know, you always, and, you know, we really as a society lack a lot of compassion. So, you know, every time you give to stuff like this or you volunteer your time, you know, you're kind of spreading that around. You're teaching it to your kids. You're, you know, making it, you know, reinforcing that it's okay to care about other people and it's okay to spend some time or spend some money on other people. And that's all what we really need to be doing more of.
Definitely. Well, thanks, Veronica. Thanks for coming on the show and letting us know what's going on in San Diego. And I guess we'll see you on Friday because I'll be there at the event as well.
Yeah, thanks for everything you do.
All right. Well, thank you, too. Good night.
Good night.
So, she was making a great point there. It's like, you know, just like I was saying as well before she came on, most of the people just really are preoccupied. And of course, partially it's by design. The system likes to keep us busy and broke so that we can hardly even have time to do anything else or even think about doing anything else because we're so consumed with trying to pay our rent and pay our bills and pay our debt and pay our car and pay for our kids' lunch and all this, that, and the other thing.
You work hard, you play hard, you die young, and you die sick. And that's the American lifestyle, dude. That's what it is. It's consumption magnified to a million times, and it's unsustainable, and it leads to world war, and it leads to environmental issues, and it leads to so-called strains on our ability to create what we need. Because everyone wants the American lifestyle, but they don't understand the real cost of it, first of all, and second of all, how it's just inefficient anyway. I mean, think about it. We ship a plastic spoon to a school that has a dishwasher. Why? It's less hygienic. I'd rather have my kid eat a spoon that's metal and washed than a plastic ship spoon. That's not more hygienic, but that's their argument. So see, we do things on such an asinine level at every single step of the way, all for the profit of the few, at the detriment of the many, and eventually to the point where we can't even sustain any life except for people underground. And that's where it's going. So is that what we want?
Well, you know, like you said about the plastic silver, I know this is kind of unbelievable, but they're blaming the increase of radiation on one of these beaches in California that they've been measuring. They're blaming this thing on plastic.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, the radiation's from the plastic. Really? I didn't know my plastic cups were irradiated.
You know, maybe it is, but maybe those plastic cups are sucking some of the radiation in. Who knows? But, you know, it's just another distraction, and a couple people fall for it. And then another one comes out, and a couple more. And soon you get to talking with people randomly and realize who's the biggest moron out there, the people that keep parroting the mainstream media. I have to keep bringing it. I can't even stop myself anymore. We're saying, God, you know, you don't know anything. That's not correct. But I saw it's on the news. Did you actually research it or read about it at all? At all? No, not at all. Well, then shut up. You're just stupid, and it's showing. Just hide that shit.
Oh,
don't wear it on your sleeve like it's a badge. Being stupid is not a badge to wear. It's not a freaking Boy Scout badge, okay? Just because everyone else has that badge doesn't mean you need to wear it proudly.
While we're on the topic of mainstream media, headline came out today. Angela Merkel arrives in Israel for peace talks.
There's irony. There's irony.
Literally, same day, Israel strikes targets on Lebanon-Syria border. Same day.
All right, how ironic is that? Well, we slaughtered your people. We're going to come tell you how not to be violent while you're violent.
Makes perfect sense.
It's like Cyber Silverman says, why do Jewy guys drive German cars? Why would you ever take advice from a country that wholesale massacred you?
Oh, man. And then, we got this false peace that they keep saying, well, it's peacetime, and no, it's wartime, and well, there's no difference anymore. We're always at wartime. We're always spending these war bucks. We're always killing people somewhere in the world. We got 900 bases in 153 different countries.
Peace is war. I mean, this is here's the logic. This is what they're calling, the logic, which is this. You're always at war in these little mini proxy wars, and that way never a big one pops off, and then you keep the money going to the military industrial complex by taxing the idiotic base population that are just worker drones anyway. And then we're going to filter all that money into all these black op things so we can filter all that tech up to the elites, and then we're going to separate from all these doofuses and go live in Elysium, wherever the hell they think they're going to escape to. This is what it boils down to. It's just a transhumanist dream. That's all it is. So they've convinced the army people, the regular guys that are in there that aren't from these elite families, that trust us, way better to go into the Middle East and start a proxy war than, not have oil and need to go invade, Russia or China one day when we need oil. That's their whole logic behind this whole thing we've had since the end of World War II.
And none of it sounds good for you or me.
Well, I mean, until we haven't gotten hit really hard yet. I mean, blowback will come someday, sooner than rather than later. But so far, the homeland hasn't been hit.
Well,
not really. It's been not really.
Not in a physical attack, but if you think about it, all of our liberties are undermined now. All of our rights. I mean, we have no privacy. The FCC is breathing down our throats. They want to know how we collect our news. I mean, it's just getting so insane. It's so Orwellian. And then we keep saying that we're pro-democracy, pro-freedom, and pro-liberty, and we want to protect the rights of the homosexual people in Russia. Unfortunately, we got people right here in Arizona trying to undermine the homosexual movement. I mean, it's so divisive, and this whole thing in Arizona is just a divisive ploy. It has no teeth to it. I mean, it's just, let's get everybody fighting again because they're starting to look at the government again. Let's get them fighting each other.
Exactly. And what better place to do it where it's already contentious from border issues and gun rights and Sheriff Joe and the massive Republican retiree base that's very wealthy and goes against the White House agenda at every turn pretty much. Why not? Let's throw another thing in there into this hotbed and let's really get it going. Let's stir something up.
And then let's throw John McCain in there saying that Hillary is going to win the election too, and just throw
John
that into the
McCain
mix.
Go to a nursing home already. I mean, the guy looks like a cyborg, dude. How is that? He's like a head on a swivel with a robot body.
How old is he? Like 180 years old or something?
Whatever. He's 86 going on 100 million. Doesn't matter. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter. The guys just put him out to pasture. Just let him retire. Force him. How is that guy allowed? When you at the point when you start muttering incoherently, you're out of office. I don't care who you are. When I don't understand what you say and can't look at your face without laughing, I can't take you seriously. You're not a leader anymore.
He got a cute little doggy with all that blood money, though. I don't know if you saw that picture on his Facebook. He posted it.
And he has the ultimate Stepford wife. I mean, the guy's just, he's a class act.
And then Obama also posted a picture with his dogs at the dining table with some, like, $1,000 china sitting there in front of a plate of, like, $1,000 food.
Was he getting backup from Jimmy Fallon? Because that's basically what it seems like is going on now.
I mean, that if that's not a slap in the face, I don't know what is. I mean, most of 30-40% of Americans can't even afford to put a decent plate on their dinner table. And this guy's feeding his dogs $1,000 dinners.
And it's organic, and it came from a special garden that's covered in netting that doesn't let chemtrail heavy metals fall on it.
I mean, it's just so so Orwellian. And
it's not. It's just science. Bill Nye, the science guy, would be extremely proud of the logical and concise brutality that's being displayed right now if he even knew what was going on. It's happening, okay? It's real. It's soft eugenics. Stupid people right now don't believe it, and they're going to suffer the consequences. Trust me on that. So just be hip to the game and know what's going on and know what's really happening and deal with it.
If you're one step ahead, and by listening to this program, you may already be at that point. And even if, you know, we recommend prepping and off-grid and doing all you can now, stacking ammo, getting a rifle, all that good stuff. Of course, just for legal purposes, do it legally. I don't care what you do in your personal life, but I just got to say it. But listening to this program alone and hearing the stuff that we talk about puts you at least 1 foot ahead of anybody else that may not be hip to this stuff. All these middle classers, all these people that I met this weekend at Whole Foods that just could care less about the people that are homeless in the streets starving.
They're going to come take your shit because you're really you're an attractive soft target. You're such a little softy when things break down and there's no police to come save you. You're going to be a magnet for these people that you so-called despised when you had things and the economy functioned. Just get that out of your head. You alone cannot do anything at all. 10 people show up at your door and you're by yourself and you have a gun, you're still screwed. Just get out of your mindset that you can do things alone. It's going to have to come back to community level. It just is going to have to. The people that survive this, yeah, the meek will inherit the earth because the strong will kill each other. And the people that stuck together and helped each other out, they're gonna make it.
Now, the other function the media is pulling off and the government is they want you – they hate community. The media doesn't like community. They don't want you relying on your neighbors. They want you to be scared. Why do you think this knockout game was such a media sensation? They want you to be scared of every young man walking on the streets. They don't want you to see that you're the son of your neighbor as an asset, as a friend, as a guy that you can maybe pick up weed from and also ask him to hook up your garden and dig your garden out. They want you to see him as an enemy, as a guy that you got to be scared of. You know, just like this kid this college student that wrecked his car over, I believe, this one was also in Florida, I believe. All this crazy stuff happens in Florida. But anyway, this college student wrecked, he got into a major car accident, got hurt. He was in shock, basically. He gets out of his car. He goes to the nearest house to ask for help. He knocks on the door. The lady was so afraid of her own shadow that she calls the cops on the guy. And what happens? The cops show up, and what do the cops do? They kill the guy. He's an innocent guy. He wrecked his car into a tree. He was in shock. He was hurt. And the lady thinks she's breaking into his house.
Well, it's a crapshoot on the quality of the officer that responds to your emergency. Chances are if he's hired after, I don't know, 2002, he's going to be a robot. So you just can't rely on people inside of the system, the cogs of the system, to do their job even competently anymore. You got to take care of yourself.
No. Yeah, exactly. And we got to stop being afraid of ourselves. I mean, if anyone can just go when you're in your neighborhood this week sometime and just introduce yourself to a neighbor. And once you get through the first one, it'll be a lot easier to go to the next. Most people aren't bad. Yeah, there's a few bad sociopaths out there. Most of them are in the government or in Wall Street. Most of them aren't in your neighborhood. Most of those people are normal, nice people. So make friends, network in your community. That's how we're going to break the system. Thanks, guys.